A clock, yeah. And when we moved into the house we're in now, there was one of these in almost every room with the hands instead of the numbers. And so I was looking at this one, and I was thinking about it, and you can see the big hand here. Does it look like it's moving?
No.
No, it does not look like it's moving. It's kind of pointing at the 11 right here, but it does not seem to be moving. Now, if we were patient, we might see it move, but it's hard to be patient, right? Does anybody ever tell you, just be patient, just wait? And it's, oh, yeah, it's hard sometimes. I was thinking about a while back, we had to move, and I did not want to move, but we had to move. And then it turned out that both of my daughters fell in love with boyfriends who lived like 20 minutes away from where we moved, and they both ended up moving close to us. And I thought, wow, you know, by waiting and putting it in God's hands, everything worked out really well. And so, you know, even though we were kind of like, oh, I don't want to do this, God said, it's okay, it'll be okay. And it was actually great. And so sometimes, you know, we don't think we see God at work, but God is doing stuff all around it. Like when we say to someone, I love you, God is in that. When we see the trees turning colors, God is in that. When we see seeds sprouting up, God is in that. We have to sometimes be patient and look around and see the different things that God is doing. And so hopefully, well, did it move? Is it in a different place? A little bit. Sometimes you just have to be patient. And that's what, in our scripture today, you'll hear God is telling a guy named, he's got a funny name, Habakkuk. He's telling Habakkuk, how would you like to have a name like Habakkuk? He's telling Habakkuk, be patient, because I'm still in control. And just wait, and things will get better. So let's put our hands together and pray. Dear Lord, when we need to wait to see you at work, help us be patient, but also help us to show one another that God works through us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. And I have owl stickers for you today. Yes, there. Woot and hoot.
Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1-4. The oracle of the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and trouble? Destruction and violence be before me. Strife and contempt arise, so the law becomes slack and justice and never prevails. The wicked sound of righteousness, therefore judgment comes forth prevailed. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1-4. God's reply to the prophet's complaint to, I will stand to my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered to me and said, write the vision, make the plain on table, so that way the runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time, it speaks of the end. It does not lie if it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come, and it will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, and the righteousness live by their faith.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your words. They come to us through this prophet we don't know much about. but his words resonate through the years. And Lord, as we come together, as we meditate on these words, Lord, let my words be your words. Let my thoughts be your thoughts. May we grow in faith through your message today. Amen. Well, there's something about Habakkuk's words that just, to me, seem like they could be for any time. When he, and the psalmists have these laments that they say. The first part of this reading is, you know, how long, Lord, shall I cry for help? And you are not listening to me. And the wrongdoers are doing wrong, and you're ignoring them. And I was thinking about this as I had heard someone say a couple years ago that may you live in interesting times is actually a Chinese curse.
They were right.
So it is some kind of curse. I went back and looked it up, and there's some contention as to whether it that ever was a Chinese curse, but there was a man, Frederick Corder, who said that in 1936 he wrote a letter to Sir Austen Chamberlain, who was the brother of Neville Chamberlain, Prime Minister of England, and he concluded his letter to Chamberlain by saying that we are living in an interesting age. And so evidently the letter struck a nerve with the person he wrote it to, Austen Chamberlain, and Chamberlain wrote back that that he had learned from diplomats to China that one of the principal Chinese curses was, may you live in an interesting age. Surely, he said, no age has been more fraught with insecurity than our present time. And so Chamberlain wrote that in 1933. Which, when you think about it, that was the year that Hitler became Chancellor of Germany, and that the German Parliament building caught on fire, and Stalin began his first five-year plan, and people started to starve to death in the Ukraine, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt abolished the gold standard. So for those folks living in 1933, those were probably interesting times. And maybe we live in interesting times. The real Chinese expression actually seems to be better to be a dog in a time of peace than a human being in a time of chaos. So, you know, do we live in interesting times or chaotic times? I looked at the front page of the Washington Post yesterday, and there was impeachment inquiries and headlines about trade wars and whistleblowers, and we have does anybody know how many Democratic candidates for president there are right now? And the eighth richest man in the world might run for president, Michael Bloomberg from New York. That doesn't seem like a good idea to me, but I'm not going to get political. And then last year, the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, was running this company, and Amazon in 2018, they made $11.2 billion in profits, and they got a tax rebate. They got a rebate of $129 million, which means their tax rate was -1%. We live in interesting times. Maybe not as interesting in 1933, but that's a blessing. That is a blessing. Well, Habakkuk lived in interesting times. We don't really know much about him, but we know that he was probably a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah, and it appears that he was writing around the time of 606 BC and 598 BC. And so at that time, the army of Egypt had Egypt had allied itself with the Assyrians, and so they were going to march north and meet the Assyrians at a place called Carchemish, and battle against the Babylonians. The Babylonians were the new enemy in town, the new bad guys. Well, to do that, they had to go through Judah. And Judah had this great king at the time. Josiah was just on fire for the Lord, and he had done all these reforms, and he was getting things straightened out. But he said, when he saw the Pharaoh getting ready to march through his land, he said, no. He said, not going to happen. Not going to do it. And so they met on the plain of Megiddo, and unfortunately, King Josiah, this great king, got shot with an arrow and died. And so Egypt marched through Judah, put their own guy on the throne in Judah, and then, along with the Assyrians, lost to the Babylonians. And Judah kind of became a ping pong ball between Egypt and Babylon. And the Babylonians did not seem like great people to the people of Judah. So in the midst of all of this turmoil and upheaval, Habakkuk lifts up this lament to God. You know, why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Why are the wrongdoers flourishing? Oh, Lord, why do I live in interesting times? Wrongdoers prosper and trouble seems to be spread far and wide. But Habakkuk receives an answer. The Lord says, it might take a while for justice to prevail, but announce it everywhere. Take this speech on the road. Have runners, take tablets out and tell the world. It may take a while, but open up your senses. Look at the larger vision of history and your life and the world, and something good is going to happen. God says, I can bring good out of this. And so we might be tempted to take the small view, to look at a headline here and a headline there, and forget about the larger views. Now, God tells in the part that we did not read in Habakkuk in that first chapter, God tells Habakkuk that he's going to use the Babylonians to punish Judah for her sins. That Babylon is going to invade Judah and be the arm of God's judgment. Because they have not been doing what they're supposed to be doing. And Habakkuk is like, why are you going to use people who are worse than we are to punish us? And Habakkuk knew that his people were not behaving the way God wanted them to. But, you know, the Babylonians, they're so much worse than us. And, you know, at least, God, we're giving you lip service. At least we're pretending to worship you. And the Babylonians were not even doing that. They don't worship God at all. They're this brutal pagan nation. And then Habakkuk asked his second question, why do you look on these treacherous people and are silent when they attack us? And so before you know it, the Babylonians are at the gate. But God, in fact, answers Habakkuk and tells him that there's something bigger than what he sees, that there will be an ultimate fulfillment of all things righteous and good. God told Habakkuk, for there's a vision for the appointed time. Something good is going to happen. You may see the enemy riding down upon you, but I have a bigger plan. Now, I'm sure that was not comforting for everybody. You know, there's this proverb about good news and bad news. And this is, I'm pretty sure, an actual story from China, and it's called the story of Sai Wang. Sai Wang means old man on the border, and so one day Sai Wang, who was a person who raised horses on the northern border of China, has one of his horses escape from his stable, and it runs across the border into the territory of the Hui people. And so upon hearing this news, all his neighbors come to comfort Sai Wang, and they say, oh, we're so sorry about this terrible thing. You've lost a horse. But to everyone's surprise, Sai Wang is not dismayed. He says with a smile, a horse running off might turn out to be good. It might be a blessing in disguise. Well, several months later, this runaway horse returns, and it brings with it another horse, a great horse, a fine horse from the Hugh territory. And when his neighbors hear the news, they all come to congratulate him. And this time, Sai Wong frowns and says to everyone, getting a fine horse for nothing is probably a bad omen in disguise. So Sai Wong had a son who enjoyed horseback riding, and he liked to ride this new horse that came back from enemy territory. And one day his son was riding the horse and accidentally fell off the horse and broke a leg. So Sai Wong's neighbors came to comfort him, and they said, "Oh, we're so sorry your son broke his leg. What a terrible thing." And Sai Wong said, "Well, you know, breaking his leg might be a blessing in disguise." So his neighbors were all puzzled by his response, and they decided that he had lost his mind. However, shortly thereafter, the Hugh people began a large-scale invasion against China, and all the young men had been summoned to join the army and defend the country, but because the Hugh people were swift and daring and skillful at fighting, it did not turn out well for many of those young men. Yet Sai Wong's son survived because he had a broken leg and couldn't go and fight. And then his neighbors discovered the wisdom hidden in his words. A blessing in disguise or a bad omen dressed as good fortune, who can say? But there is one thing that I am convinced of, and that is that God can bring good out of even the worst circumstances. We may live in interesting times, but there have been more interesting times than these. And as I think about that, I think about Joseph. That example of Joseph being thrown into the pit and sold into slavery. A terrible thing, an awful thing, kind of thing that would be very hard to forgive your brothers of, having them throw you into the pit. Bad thing. But later, when he is reunited with his brothers, when he is able to feed his entire family, when he's reunited with them, he tells them, "Even though you intended to harm me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today." And I think that's the lesson for us. We often simply cannot see the positive side of many things. We often focus on the small picture, on the little things right in front of us. Sometimes it's hard to see the good. And yet, there we are in the midst of things. We have to trust that since we have given ourselves to God, we are in the hands of God. I think about that, and I think about what Jackie said a little earlier, and it put me in mind of a program we did at my previous church. We went to the elementary school and we asked them what they needed. We had people who were willing to reach out and help. And they said, "We need people to come and be with some of our kids who are at risk, who just need an adult presence that's going to be there once a week, and they can read to them or play games with them. That's what we need." And so My little person was Jamil, and so once a week I'd bring a story, and I would read to him. At first, the idea was that he would read to me, but I figured out pretty soon that was not going to happen. So I read to him, but he really liked the stories, and sometimes I was very aware that, like, you know, not to touch the kids or anything, but we'd be reading a story and he'd start leaning, and after a while he'd be up against me and listening to the story. And then they said, could you come and read to his little brother too? And so I would read to one, and then the other one would come in and I'd read to him. And And you never know what kind of difference you're going to make. Eventually, he and his brothers went to Richmond. He and his brothers were not being fed regularly by their mom. They were being left alone. And so they went to live with their grandmother in Richmond. But it was like, well, for a year and a half, I got to sit with this little guy and his brother, and maybe that's what he needed. You know, we see our little piece, and we don't know how that fits into the bigger view of things. But God says, keep doing what you're doing, if it's good. Not the idol worship thing. But if you're living in me, keep it up. And I'll show you the big picture. Maybe not today, but one day. One day we'll see it all. And we'll see God in the midst of all of it, I am sure. Amen. Well, it is a joy to be with you this morning. We had a group of folks came together and repaired some of the chrismons yesterday, and made some chrismons, and that was a joy as well. And I have to say, I meant to say this last week, but last month was Pastor Appreciation Day, and I just have to say thank you. Put something in the newsletter, but thank you. I really feel appreciated. Y'all are awesome. Thank you. Thank you for all the cards. So it was wonderful. Do we have other joys or concerns this morning? Okay, so remember our military family and fill out families, and especially this one where folks are being deployed and over the holidays. Yeah, we just definitely want to keep them in mind. I think sometimes for someone who's always been a civilian, it's hard to completely understand how the sacrifices that are made. Other joys or concerns? And Gene Whiting. All right. We will keep Gene Whiting in our prayers. Other joys or concerns? Yes.
Just continued prayers for Roy. He's still not feeling well. And a praise. My dad is back in the country for a few weeks, and I am blessed that he made it here safely and
All right, wonderful. Well, we will definitely keep Roy in our prayers, and so glad your dad made the trip safely and will be here for a little while. Great. Other joys or concerns? Yes.
My sister, she got her both her breasts removed.
Our middle daughter had surgery on Tuesday, what day was it? I don't know. Anyway, she's home, doing well, get back up there real quick here. I've been staying with her during the day most of the time.
All right, so prayers for Susan, Pam's sister, who...
Susan
Fries, who had a mastectomy last week and is recovering, so... We will definitely keep her in our prayers. Any others? Yes.
Please pray for Alexander. He's getting older, and he's asking a lot of questions about his dad's death. And we had a conversation yesterday that was kind of hard. I think it was harder for me than it was him. But just pray for him as he adjusts to knowing a little more about death than what I thought he was ready for. But you can't lie to a kid.
Well, bless you for doing the hard work that's involved, and we will definitely pray for Alexander as he gets older and, yeah, and is dealing with things around his dad's death. Any others? Let us pray. Divine Creator, you who are in all things, over all things, beyond our imagination, our ability to conceive what you do and how you do it. But Lord, we give you thanks that you hear us, that you do not leave our prayers unanswered, even though we may not get the answer we want. Lord, help us to continue to be in that conversation with you. Help us to speak to you so that we are known and you make yourself felt and seen in our lives. Lord, I give you thanks for everyone who's gathered here. Give you thanks for your Holy Spirit that moves and works in our midst. Lord, continue to strengthen us in our faith. Pour out healing upon those who are in need of healing. Make strong those who are in need of strength. Make weak those who are in need of humility. Be with us in the midst of interesting times. Lord, we know that you understand the bigger picture. We don't always get it. But in the midst of all that, Lord, help us to love one another, to love even the people we don't like. Help us to be Christ in the world. Lord, we pray this morning for everyone who was elected across the country. And we ask that you give them the wisdom to do what is right in all circumstances. Give them the wisdom to see what is right. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them strength in the midst of grief. We pray for those who, the little ones, who will go through many stages of grief before they are grown. We especially pray for them. But Lord, be with all of us. Help us to share grace wherever we go so that it is not just a concept, but a thing that we offer. Lord, all of this I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I believe we have a mission moment this morning.
Good morning. Today's mission moment will highlight Bethany's ministry through Kingsway Ministry. Kingsway Prison Ministry has been a longtime ministry that we have supported here at Bethany. Supporting Kingsway Ministry is important to us, partially because its founders were members here. Louise Jennings is still very active in running Kingsway. Kingsway Prison Ministry is a nonprofit organization based in the Shenandoah Valley. Kingsway is a service ministry reaching out in Christian love to inmates, ex-offenders, and their families. They accomplish this by assisting individuals and churches in ministering to the physical needs of families and of those incarcerated. We not only help by giving a portion of your offering each week to Kingsway, we support Kingsway through the cards. If you've ever been here and helped with the whirlwind of cards, we gather cards in the fellowship hall and we walk in circles for an hour or so and pick up cards, and these cards are sent to the prisoners so that they have greeting cards to send to their families. We also just participated in the Apple Tree Project, and this is gifts for the children of incarcerated folks. So if you participated in that, thank you so much. This year we had 71 Apple Tree gifts, and they were all taken by you. So thank you for being Santa to some of these children. It's a huge, huge gift to them. Also, reminder, if you did take an Apple Tree gift, they are due next week. Thank you. But Kingsway does a lot in our community and throughout Virginia in different prisons and jails, working with inmates and their families. And if you are interested in getting more involved in Kingsway, I can hook you up with where to find that information. But thank you for your continued support.
With this time, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless our gifts. We know that you give us all gifts, and so help us to use those gifts well in whatever form they have come into our lives. Lord, bless them and help us to use them so that we can share your light and your love and your grace with the whole world. Amen. Just a couple of announcements. Don't forget that this evening is the chili cook-off at 5 p.m., so that supports the missions and, I'll put it right here. Thank you. So remember that. Also, you'll see the poinsettia form is in the bulletin if you'd like to order a poinsettia or make a donation. And, the Sunday school mini lesson I'm teaching on Adam Hamilton, have outgrown the room we were in, so if you're taking part in that, we're going to go downstairs in the room with the pink carpet, whatever we call that. Also, District Superintendent Victor Gomez is having some prayer revival services this month, and November 19th he'll be at John Wesley UMC in Harrisonburg, so lift that up to you. And also, got late notice on this, but District Conference is going to be on next Sunday, November 17th at 3 p.m. So if you're the delegate to District Conference, just letting you know, or if you're the district steward, that's at 3 p.m. at Otterbein. And anybody can go if you would like to. It's supposed to be short and sweet this year. Any other announcements?
We're going to make Chrismons again next Saturday morning, not
30, for anybody keeping some. Okay, so Chrismons again next next Saturday, 9:30. All right.
Danny told me that they're going to be in the Bridgewater Christmas Parade, and they want to order the T-shirts that we have that have Jesus is the reason. So if anybody, I'm going to have a sign-up sheet, I guess. Price will depend on how many we get, so.
Okay. So, and anybody welcome to
anybody's welcome to have. You don't have to be in the parade.
Oh, you don't have to be. Yeah. Please be in the parade. Okay, yes.
Food pantry is open tomorrow. If anybody thinks it's closed, the food pantry is not tomorrow.
Food pantry is open. All right, thank you, Wayne. Anyone else? As we hear this, as we sing this last song, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us take it out of this room and out in the world. May you all be blessed. May you all have joy. May your feet be beautiful as you bring good news to the world. Amen.